In Exodus chapter 3, we find the story of Moses shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. He's out in the wilderness, and he comes to the mountain of God, Horeb. And there we read, the angel of God appeared to him in flames of fire blazing out of the middle of a bush. He looked. The bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. Moses said, "What's going on here? I can't believe this. It's amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up?" And God saw that he had stopped to look. And God called to him from out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Yes, I'm right here." God said, "Don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You are standing on holy ground." And then he said, "I am God, the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush and declared that Moses stood on holy ground. While I have never seen a burning bush, and God has never spoken to me out of a burning bush, nor even in an audible voice, there are times when I really am aware that I'm on holy ground. That God is present in a profound way, and there is a sense that I'm in the midst of the holy. I generally don't know when or where it will come. And often I recognize that I would miss it if I didn't notice and name it. It's one of those things that can pass by and that we sometimes just chalk up to kind of the ordinary. But when I stop and recognize that God was there and that it was profound, I realize that it's something more than just the everyday thing. And while I don't know when or where it will come, I can recognize it. This week it came in the middle of the night, at the end of a dream, when I realized that that dream was reliving an experience that I had had and that God was speaking to me out of that experience. On occasion, it comes in the middle of gathered worship. It comes in a variety of places. And to be able to name that is God is important. As Quakers, we take seriously this thing that we are gathering in the presence of God and inviting God to speak to us. That we believe that God is here and that God is speaking, and so we gather to listen. Often people talk a lot about coming in worship, and it's all about what we're giving to God. And particularly through singing, that we're singing praises to God, and it's all about this motion of going up to God. But really, the power of gathering is to listening and invite God's voice to be heard. We know that God is speaking. That's not up for grabs. That's not even a question. God is speaking all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, all around the world, everywhere. And Scripture even tells us that if we're not aware of it, the rocks will cry out. That God is speaking everywhere. But that it's our invitation to listen. To invite that stillness, that ability to be aware of what God is saying in our midst. And so we gather in worship to listen. There are times when the speaking in worship is so profound that we know that we are on holy ground. That the experience of God is perceptible and felt. And there's times when it's kind of, we're aware that this was not just an everyday thing, that it was deep and real, and somehow we felt it in a profound way that quickened right through to our spirits. And while we know that God is always here and God is always speaking, we also recognize those times when there is a clear and deep speaking in our midst. It can, this experience of God that is perceptible and felt can come through human words, but it can also come through deep silence. Sometimes it's in multiple voices. It's a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit over here. Sometimes it's very personal. And other times it's really communal. It's for the whole community. This sense that the burning bush has appeared in our midst and we are on holy ground is real. It's not just a nice story that we read that happened one time, but that truth that God breaks through the ordinary. Sometimes we're alone, sometimes we're gathered, but that God breaks through and speaks to us, draws us into God's presence, breaks through our defenses, gathers us up, and holds us, is real. Thomas Kelly suggests that such gathered meeting times are times of group mysticism, and that mysticism is really centered in experience, the experience of the presence of God. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." So we know that Jesus is with us, that we gather in God's presence, and that we can encounter and know this experience that God is with us. There's also a sense in which in the gathered meeting, that there's a new life and power that has entered our midst. Something that is beyond just every day, but that a new sense of God's presence, of God's life and power is with us. There's a sense in which we are all held as a community in that life and power, that it's larger than me, or even larger than just two of us, but that it is profound and deep and gathers us up. It's a gift from God, this sense that God has gathered us up into the presence of God. Francis Haugill is an early Quaker and describes it this way: "The kingdom of heaven did gather us and catch us all as in a net. We came to know a place to stand in and what to wait in as we're gathered into this presence of God." I wonder, is there something that we can do or that we're supposed to do in order to create an opening for this holy ground? In order to make it happen? In one sense, there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to cause God's imminence to be perceptible. It's God's free gift to us given in love, that God is with us, and we simply open ourselves to it. On the other hand, for a gathered sense of meeting for worship, coming to meeting for worship ready and anticipating God's presence really helps. For some of us to arrive with a sense of having been kindled prior to coming to worship, prior to gathering with others, and then the flame that one carries spreads across the group and it's caught by others that are present here. And that those who gather and are already experiencing God's presence help the rest of us. Because, you know, there are times when we just don't arrive in worship with a sense of being connected to God because of something that's happened on the way here, because we're distraught over something, because of turmoil that we're feeling. There can be any number of things that happen that get us off, and we show up anyway. And to be in the presence of others, to know that we gather in this place and it's not all up to me, that I get to come just as I am. And that there are days when I'll be a little disconnected. And to know that it's okay to come just as I am, and wait in the presence of others, knowing that God is here and that others will carry the load that morning, that they will gather and carry the weight of bringing us into the presence of God. Those of us who come pre-gathered and help us all settle and center into worship do their work invisibly. You know, it isn't that we look at some person and we see a look of rapt attention and it's like they're kind of transported into this other world and we can see it written all over their face. I don't think that usually happens. It's usually that people gather and we're not aware that there's a profound sense of connection that God has been in conversation with them all morning or all week in a way that is deep and profound. And yet they carry that silently into worship. It's also not the work of an assigned few like me, the pastor, or the clerk of the meeting, or the elders. It's work that all of us do, that we all come ready to join in worship, that we all are gathered into this. And it's this internal work of prayer that we're all called to. It's a we work in which we're all called to lift up this group before God. And so we gather all having our place of being able to lift each other up before God and to hold this community before God. And again, it isn't just for me or a particular person. All of us, even a child can do this, that we all hold up this community before God. We hold us all up in the presence of God and above that which distracts and pulls us away. And even as one that can be distracted and disconnected, to come and sit and let the stuff kind of fall away and recognize that you're being held up by others and that the prayer is happening and that you can simply settle into that and let that which distracts slide off, so to speak, and simply enter into the presence of God. So our work in gathering is simply to hold each other up. To hold each other up into the presence of God. To pray that the light will dispel the shadows. To think of the light shining down, God's light shining like glorious sunlight down upon all of us. And that light can go into all the crooks and crannies in the shadows and dispel that which hides. Just like in this woman that Betty Thaw Jung used, apartment, and dispel the darkness that's there. But that happens everywhere, including here. And we can beam light into all of our lives. So we come doing this work as a part of gathering us into worship. Being pre-gathered means preceding preparation for worship. And it begins at home. It begins before we get here. In fact, I think it often begins in bed. Begins before you get out of bed as we think and anticipate about going to worship and gathering with others to listen to God and wondering how is God going to manifest God's self in this gathering as we gather with each other in the presence of God this morning. What will we notice? What will we hear? What will be new? What will be different? What will be tried and true that I've heard a million times and yet speaks right through to here today in a way that it hasn't spoken for a long time? Just to be able to see, a little bit like the dahlia rising when we forgot that it was there or even that it got planted there, but to know that God will speak. So we do this intentional work of being ready to gather with the community and worship. Sometimes it begins early in the week. Whenever it begins, to be aware that we are actually nurturing this time of gathering together. It's an invitation to live our whole lives as being constantly centered in worship while we're working and sleeping. that we live on multiple levels, aware that God is present with us 24/7 all the time, and that we're in conversation with God while we go about our daily work. And that we pay attention to those ways in which God helps prepare you for gathering in worship. That you notice and name the work that you are doing to help the community join together in a sense of being gathered by God. To be aware of what we're thinking about or what comes to mind as we are getting ready, as we're doing the work of coming together. This is not just my work. I want to be, I think it's so important that we all gather together and that we all are aware that we have work to do in preparing for that. And then as we enter this time that's set aside to gather together, we know that others will be gathering at this hour. At North Seattle Friends Church, we've set 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings as the hour to gather. Now, that isn't a holy hour. It may have been a traditional hour for many churches over the years, but there's nothing more holy about 11 o'clock than noon or 3 or 4 in the morning, for that matter. That's not a holy hour. And yet, it's a time that we have an appointment with each other that we will gather. That we will gather with you and listen to you in this place, knowing that God is speaking. And so we gather and hold each other up in prayer. And we expect God to speak to us because we know that God is present and speaking. So we expect to be able to hear. And then we listen deeply. We become comfortable with silence and don't feel compelled to fill it with words. For some of us that have that words come easily to, there's a sense in which maybe I need to say something. But a sense in which we can simply gather. And that the silence in itself can speak deeply to our spirits. That's huge. We pay attention to the thoughts and nudges that come to us as we listen. Rather than shoving away, I'm not going to think about that now. I'm not going to think about this or what I have to do. We pay attention to what comes and hold it. And if it falls through or sifts away, we let it go. But if it stays, we pay attention to those things that come. And we're willing to risk that God can and will speak to me through those thoughts and nudges. That's a bit audacious, don't you think, to think that God can and will speak to me through my thoughts and nudges? And yet, that's what we do. We gather, listening, believing that God will speak, that God is speaking, and that God, in fact, is speaking to me through my thoughts and nudges. If a message comes, we're willing to share it publicly. We're willing to ask for the microphone and share that message with others. But we're content to share what came without needing to finish it or go beyond what was given to us. I think sometimes we get a little piece like this, and we have a temptation, well, that doesn't seem adequate. Oh, God, you must mean this and this and this and this and this, and I make it a whole lot bigger than it really was, rather than simply sharing what came to me. I can trust that if there's more to be said, others will say it. Others will be given it. Or it may be that there are multiple endings and that will be finished in everyone's individual hearts. There may be a different application for you and for you and for you. And the application isn't spilled out because we need to do that personal listening of hearing how it is to work in us. And as a person speaks, we listen. First, we listen to what they are saying. We listen deeply to the individual that speaks and to what they're saying. But then we listen to God for the deeper message. We listen under. God, what are you saying through what I just heard? What is your message? what if a meeting doesn't have a sense of having been gathered, of having been caught up? What if it feels like there's not a sense in which God was present in a particular way? Are those meetings failures? Have we failed? I don't think so. I think we ask the wrong question when we ask that. We, rather than say, well, it seemed like there wasn't a real movement there that seemed to catch me, we ask the question, have we been faithful? Have we been faithful to what we were to do this morning? Have I been faithful? If yes, it is enough. It is enough. If we are faithful, we can go home content. As a gathered community, we have learned that to be faithful is enough. That our life together will ebb and flow. That there are mountains and valleys, but that God is present in all of it. God is both on the mountaintop and in the valley. God is present everywhere we go. We cannot escape that. And so we don't forsake gathering together in worship just because there wasn't a wow factor that we think there's supposed to be. We simply gather and are faithful to do our work, to come. And to be present to each other, to be present to God, to listen and open ourselves to hearing what God has to say. We are committed to the faithful gathering of God's people. The kingdom of heaven did gather us and catch us all as in a net. And we came to know a place to stand in, and what to wait in. That's an experience of coming to know that place to stand in and what to wait in, and that's enough, that God is present. And so we stand in that place. We wait in the presence of God, and we listen. Let us continue listening this morning.